Part 5, Chapter 21. Ray walked alone across the meadow atop the island, beneath a full moon like a lantern. Her eyes wandered to the outcropping of the Jedi Temple, a pale spike against the night, atop the winding thread of the stone stairs. She supposed it was the last time she'd ever see it. The last time she'd walk through this grassy saddle. The last time she'd admire the craftsmanship of the cluster of ancient huts. It made her a little sad. But she realized what made her sad was the memory of what she'd hoped to find on the island, but hadn't. Such as a teacher, or a reason to hope. Both had eluded her, and now she would have to explain that to General Organa. Leia had lost so much, and Rey would add to her burdens by telling her what exactly? That her brother had lost himself in bitterness and self-reproach? That after helping the Force find the balance it had sought, he had closed his senses to it, stubbornly rejecting its call? That he was willing to die alone on a speck of land in a nameless ocean on a forgotten planet while the galaxy burned around him? Well, she wasn't willing to do that. She would do the only thing she could do. Tell Leia the truth. And then she would fight. Even if she could offer the galaxy only another day of hope, or a minute, or a second, she would fight. Rey could see the pale saucer of the Falcon far below her now. She dug in her bag for her comlink.
Chewie, get her ready for launch, she said. We're leaving.
Even as she broke the connection, she felt a familiar presence, like a change in the weather behind her. Goose flesh broke out on her arms.
I'd rather not do this now,
she said without turning.
Yeah, me too,
said Kylo. Steeling herself, she turned, determined not to let her adversary into her head. This time she would make him answer for what he'd done.
Why did you hate your father?
She demanded, then stopped.
Oh.
Kylo was stripped to the waist in his chambers. The angry scar she'd given him in their duel snaked down his face and neck and across his collarbone. Her eyebrows rose, but Kylo was unruffled by the sight of her, and seemingly undisturbed by her question.
Because he was a weak-minded fool, he said.
Rey forced herself to look into his eyes. Those angry, haunted, needy eyes.
I don't believe you,
she said.
You're going to... Do you have a cowl or something you can put on?
Kylo ignored that, and Rey made herself focus.
Why did you hate your father? Give me an honest answer.
I will, when you ask an honest question,
Kylo said. And she wanted to scream at him. He wasn't her teacher. And anyway, that position was no longer open.
Why did you hate Han Solo?
She asked.
No,
Kylo said dismissively, almost bored. But Rey wouldn't let him escape so easily.
You had a father who loved you, who gave a damn about you.
I didn't hate him.
Then why?
Rey demanded.
Why what? Why what? Say.
Why did you kill him? I don't understand.
No?
Kylo's curiosity was genuine and infuriating.
Your parents threw you away like garbage.
They didn't,
Rey said, and she hated the fact that even to her own ears, she sounded like she was pleading. The strange contact between their minds had given her insight into his powers, and it helped unleash her own. It had also let him pillage her memories and feelings. But there was no way the Force could have told him that, shown him that. That was right, wasn't it?
They did,
Kylo said.
but still you can't stop needing them. It's your greatest weakness. You look for them everywhere. In Han Solo, now in Skywalker.
His gaze was hungry and knowing.
Did he tell you what happened that night?
Kylo asked.
Yes,
Rey said, knowing Kylo could see that wasn't true.
No,
he said. Ben Solo, no longer a boy, but not yet a man, looks up in surprise and alarm. His Uncle Luke has come into his chambers at night, and now stands over him. The Jedi Master's face is twisted in a snarl, and lit by the green blade of his lightsaber. The Force is aboil with danger. For a moment, regret shadows Luke's face. But Ben can see his uncle has gone too far to turn back. He will not falter or hesitate. Rather, he will bring his lightsaber down and cleave his nephew in two while he sleeps. Desperate, Ben's hand reaches out, not toward Luke, but beyond him, to the lightsaber he has constructed. Willing it into his hand, its blue blade blocks the killing blow. The locked blades buzz and spark. But Ben knows this is only a brief reprieve. He can't resist his master's far greater powers for long. Trapped, he reaches up toward the ceiling with his free hand, begging the stones to heed his plea and come crashing down on Luke's head to save him.
He had sensed my power. As he senses yours,
Kylo said.
And he feared it.
Liar,
Rey said. But there was no conviction behind it. She could feel that what Kylo had told her was true. Or at least he wasn't trying to mislead her. And hadn't she sensed Luke's guilt and self-reproach? What if he had gone into exile, not because of what the apprentice had done to the teacher, but because of what the teacher had done to the apprentice?
Let the past die,
Kylo said.
Kill it, if you have to. That's the only way to become what you were meant to be.
And then he was gone, leaving her alone in the night. Alone, but knowing that she had one final thing to do. Only then would she leave Master Skywalker's refuge forever. Jaw set, Rey strode off across the rocky highlands in the opposite direction from the Falcon. Luke stood outside the temple, bathed in moonlight. Below him, the waves chewed ceaselessly at the margins of the island, continuing the slow, patient work of dissolving it into the sea from which it had sprung. Above him, the stars were cold lights, following their fixed and eternal courses. Luke sat, his legs protesting as he forced them into position. He put his hands on the rocky ledge where so many Jedi had meditated over the eons, and closed his eyes. Breathe. Just breathe. The wind filled his ears, the island's constant companion. It was a whisper now, the low conversation of autumn breezes instead of the whine of winter or the howl of a summer storm. He could hear the night birds calling as they rode high above him, and the metronome calls of insects from the grasses. Behind him, in the ancient temple, the still surface of the water in the ancient font began to ripple and dance. Luke could hear more now. Far more. He could hear the static of pebbles and sand being washed back and forth beneath the waves. He listened to the bump of the worms pushing blindly through the dirt, building their tunnels and revitalizing the soil. He heard the muttering of the season's last porglets as they turned inside their eggs beneath the heartbeats of their mothers. He heard the world flooding back into his senses.
Aboard the Rattus, an MD-15 medical droid raised its blank white head. Its patient's heartbeat had suddenly surged, accompanied by spikes of brain activity. The droid focused its photoreceptors on the subject, motionless on the gurney. Her eyes moved beneath their lids.
"Luke,"
whispered Leia. The sounds grew to a crescendo, a thunderclap that was followed by a bewildering, blinding rush of images. "Seek your center. Find balance." Luke's body felt like it was on fire. He knew it wasn't. He accepted the feeling, denying it power over him, and then let it ebb. In its place came a familiar sense of warmth, of belonging, of finding himself part of an endless lattice of connections that held him and everything else, each fixed in its proper place. A force. That aspect of the Force, the Jedi had called it the Living Force, was ceaseless and ever-renewing. But the Jedi had spoken of another aspect, the cosmic force. It had an awareness and a purpose and a will that had been silent, dormant after the demise of the Sith, only to wake once again during Luke's exile. A will that Luke finally allowed himself to acknowledge once again. More confident now, Luke stretched out with his feelings, his awareness slipping lightly through the island's tumult of life. He found Rey instantly. She was like a beacon in the Force, burning so brightly that everything around her seemed attuned to her. And Luke sensed another familiar presence. This one was far away, achingly far. But nothing so meaningless as distance could ever dim that presence in his awareness. Luke opened his eyes.
"Leia," he said.
Rey stood on a long, flat outcropping of stone that emerged from the grassy slopes of the island to end in a low cliff above the sea. In the center of the stone was a gaping hole in the rock, surrounded by reddish moss bleached gray by the moonlight. She carefully approached the place she'd seen in her vision on the meditation ledge, the one that had been trying to show her something. Luke had warned her that accepting its offer would be yielding to the dark side, but perhaps that was because he feared the truths it might reveal. She stared into the inky darkness of the hole. Bright as the moon was, it revealed nothing about what was below. The hole burbled and hissed, as if it were trying to speak to her. Rey stopped at the edge, stooping to examine the moss, and slipped. Slipped, or was dragged inside. She didn't know if she cried out, or if it made a sound. She fell into water, the cold like a knife in her lungs. She struggled, surfaced, and gasped, eyes stinging from the salt, then hauled herself out onto the slick, flat stone. She was in a cave, she saw now, a long, narrow space that the sea had carved away beneath the lip of the cliff, creating a hidden place beneath the island. Its existence revealed only by a blowhole where a vertical shaft had intersected the surface. The hole spat gouts of water at high tide, but seemed to breathe when the tide was low, as it was now. Before her, the sea had ground and polished the walls of the cave until the stone was like a dark mirror, cracked but glossy. Rey could see her reflection in it. A reflection
repeated 1,000 times in the stone's labyrinthine facets, so they created a line of rays retreating from her gaze. Ray gazed into the mirror and realized it was gazing back. The force was quavering in response to the approach of something. She could hear herself breathing, slowly and raggedly. Then, her breathing quickened as she realized she was inside the stone, within the mirror world, with several rays between her and the soaked, shivering girl standing on the ledge in the cave. Then that ray was gone, and 100 rays stood between her and the slim figure on the ledge. She turned her head, and all those rays obediently did the same, each one's turn coming a moment after the one before it, until all were staring along with her deeper into the dark stone. Ray knew she had to go deeper, that the world inside the stone only seemed to go on forever. It was leading somewhere, and if she only had the courage to follow, that secret place would show her what she had come to see, and what she was most afraid to know. There were rays deeper in the stone, part of the line yet ahead of her. She told herself to follow them, to become them, to ignore the voice in her head that kept babbling that she would be trapped forever, down here in the darkness at the secret heart of the island. She followed the line of rays, willing the surreal succession to end, until finally it did. Until at last, there was one final ray, breathing hard and staring at a large, round, clouded mirror of polished stone, like the one that had called to the girl in the cave. This last ray stood in front of the stone, gazing into its depths.
"Let me see my parents," she begged. "Please."
She stretched out her hand, and the clouded surface of the mirror seemed to ripple, its darkness melting away. She saw two dark figures beneath its surface. As her heartbeat hammered in her ears, the two became one. Her fingers touched the stone and met the fingertips of another. It was the girl from the sea cave, staring back at her. It was herself. Ray lowered her hand, and a reflection did the same. Then she began to weep. She'd spent so many nights in the deserts of Jakku, an orphan in the half-buried wreckage of a forgotten war, marking each night with a new scratch in the metal, until she was surrounded by thousands of gouges. There had been too many to sensibly mark time, but that had long ago ceased to be the point. The rows upon rows of slashes had become something else, but she didn't know what. A testament to her insistence that this vigil had a purpose, maybe? Or perhaps a ritual to hold back the solitude that was always at work on her, eroding her hope and whispering that she would wind up like everything else abandoned on Jakku. A shell, empty and purposeless. She had felt so alone all those nights, but never as alone as she did staring at her own reflection beneath the island in the cold and the dark. When her tears finally ebbed, Ray lifted her head. She knew who she had to talk to about the cave, about what she had sought and what it had shown her. Someone who would understand how solitude and loss could eat away at you until there was nothing left. Luke was afraid Ray had gone, that his awakened sense of the Force had blinded him to the more mundane world around him, and he would discover the Falcon had departed, taking her away with it. "Ray, you were right," he called as he crossed the meadow in the driving rain, lightning flashing overhead. "I'm coming with you! Ray!" Luke had shut himself off for so long and now the Force was roaring around him. Rey was right. She needed him, as did Leia, and the Resistance, and all those desperate for hope. His grief and guilt had left him unable to see that, unable to see anything but darkness and despair. In trying to shield the galaxy from his failure, he had walled himself off from everything, including the prospect of hope. The Force had sent Rey. Of that, Luke was now certain. She had arrived bearing the message he had refused to hear. But she was not just the Force's vessel. To think of her that way was to diminish her. She was also a young woman, powerful with the Force, who needed his help, and who had believed in him, even when he gave her no reason to. He reached the huts and saw to his relief that Han Solo's freighter was still sitting at the bottom of the long, winding stair. And light was leaking out of the door and the narrow window of the hut Rey had claimed for her own. Relieved, Luke quickened his steps, eager to make up for lost time. The moment Rey reached her hut, she had felt him near her in the Force. The connection between them was so raw and powerful that it reminded her of touching a live wire in the wreckage of a starship. She had closed her eyes, opened them, and found Kylo Ren there. Right next to her, where she sat on the stone bench. As if she could actually reach out and touch his hand, his face, his hair. At the sight of him, she'd felt relief surge through her. Kylo listened intently, his long face impassive, as she told him about being drawn into the cave and into the stone, and how the journey had led to nothing. No revelation except how alone she was.
"You're not alone,"
he insisted, and she believed him.
"Neither are you. It isn't too late."
Rey tentatively raised her hand toward his, expecting to see their hands go through each other and wondering if she would feel it in the Force somehow. But their fingers actually touched. She grasped his hand, jolted by the contact, and saw that the same shock had gone through him. Luke Skywalker walked into the hut to find Rey and Kylo with their hands clasped, staring into each other's eyes. "Stop!" he yelled and flung out his hand. A burst of power hurled every stone of the hut outward from its center, scattering them around the bench where Rey and Kylo sat in astonishment. Rey's hand closed on nothing, and she stared at Luke as rain pelted them. She got to her feet and stared at the Jedi Master. "Is it true?" she demanded. "Did you try to murder him?" "Leave this island," Luke said through gritted teeth. "Now!" Then he turned and walked away, just as he'd done the day she arrived, bearing the lightsaber that had called to her. That day she had just watched, bewildered and hurt. But that had somehow become a long time ago.
"No," Rey said. "You answer me. You tell me the truth. Stop!"
Luke kept walking. And so Rey snatched up her staff, took three long strides, and swung it flat and hard, cracking him across the back of the head and knocking him to the ground. He stared up into the rain, surprised at the young woman standing over him with her teeth bared.
"Did you do it?" Rey asked. "Did you create Kylo Ren?"
Luke got to his feet, and Rey saw immediately that nothing had changed. He was still going to walk away from her, retreating to brood in silence. Furious, she swung her staff at him again. But Luke reached out, the motion a blur, and a length of lightning rod flew off the roof of one of the huts. Before Rey could blink, he had intercepted the strike of her staff, the impact sending a jolt up her forearms and knocked her backward. Rey sprang back at him,
her staff and his improvised weapon spinning and colliding as the rain poured down. She pressed the attack. The staff had never felt more comfortable in her hands, so much like a part of her. Her confidence grew, and she smiled wolfishly as she saw the surprise on his face. But it was a fleeting thing. Quicker than she could follow, he parried her thrust and continued the motion, flipping the staff out of her hands to clatter on the stones, leaving her defenseless. Rey reached out, feeling the force alive and hungry around her, and found the weight of the lightsaber in her hands. She ignited it, and Luke gave ground, looking up at her as she held the blade high, rain hissing and sparking off its length. They looked at each other for a long moment. And then, Rey turned the lightsaber off, leaving them in the rain. "Tell me the truth," she said.
Luke Skywalker looks down at his nephew, Ben Solo, no longer a boy, but not yet a man. He has come into his chambers at night, and now stands over him. The Jedi Master's eyes are closed. The Force is aboil with danger. Worry shadows Luke's face as he extends his hand, reaching out with the Force, reaching into the sleeping Ben's mind. The boy remains still, his face untroubled, and Luke's eyes remain shut. But he can see fire and ruin and the sightless eyes of the dead. And he can hear screams and the howl of lightsabers and the roar of explosions. Darkness expanding from this slim, dark-haired boy to shroud everything. And the cacophony of terror that will accompany it. Luke draws his hand back as if burned. The Force around Ben has always been shot through with veins of darkness. But what he's seen is beyond anything he'd feared to find. Luke removes his lightsaber from his belt and ignites the blade, his eyes grave. But then he looks at Ben, and the brief, almost unwilling thought is gone. He cannot bring his lightsaber down on his sister's son while he sleeps. And immediately, Luke knows it's too late. He has already failed his student. Because Ben's eyes are open, frightened, but aware. The boy's powers with the Force are already immense and still growing. And he is a Skywalker. He knows what Luke thought. He knows what Luke saw. He knows what will be. Desperate, Ben's hand reaches out, not toward Luke, but beyond him, to the lightsaber he has constructed. Willing it into his hand, its blue blade, a killing blow aimed at his master. Luke's own blade meets Ben's, and the locked lightsabers buzz and spark. Then Ben reaches up toward the ceiling with his free hand, compelling the stones to come crashing down on Luke's head. Rey touched Luke's arm.
"You failed him by thinking his choice was made," she said, her voice equal parts gentle and insistent. "It wasn't. There's still conflict in him. If he were turned from the dark side, that could shift the tide. This could be how we win."
Luke turned his eyes to her. His gaze was bleak. And for the first time in Rey's memory, he struck her as old. A broken man dragged back into a storm he'd thought he'd escaped. But his voice was strong, insistent. "This is not going to go the way you think," he warned her.
"It is. Just now, when we touched hands, I saw his future. I saw it.
as solid as I'm seeing you. If I go to him, Ben Solo will turn.
Rey, don't do this.
Rey's answer was to hold the unlit lightsaber out to him once again. A last invitation. She knew immediately that he would not accept it.
Then he's our last hope,
she said. She turned and simply walked away from him.